Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, wow, that was abrupt. Yo, Brother B, Brother L. In the house.
Yes, sir.
Another episode of The Menu. What up, everybody? How you
feel? What's going on, people? How we doing out there?
I hope everybody is all well. And to those that are not, me and Brother L are praying for you and whatever you go through. You know?
Indeed.
You know, thanks again for tuning in. For those who download later. Be thankful to the Most High for us being able to be here to do another episode of The Menu. And how you doing, brother, tonight?
Oh, you know, I'm a little tired, but I'm here, bro. I'm here. I'm here to give it to the masses and speak to the masses. So let's do it. Let's get into it.
I hear you. I'm, like, bouncing back and forth because I got something on the stove.
Oh, well, you
yeah, hey. Right now, my
mom's dad. So you're mixing it up with the pots and pans, you think?
You know, I originally wanted to, like, the menu was originally supposed to go kind of like borderline with the whole cooking thing. But,
well, it sounds like you're doing that right about now. So, you know, while you're getting your chef on, you know,
it's supposed to be
like I said, while you're getting your chef on, let's pop into the topic for tonight. So hit it off and lead it off.
Well, before we get into that topic, I did want to get into something. I was on Facebook earlier, and a brother, good brother, by the name of Arthur Wright, had some commentary about the whole Trayvon Martin trial that's going on right now.
Yeah.
And,
big prayer to Trayvon's family, you know, and everything
that
they're going through, because this, you know, what happened to that young man shouldn't happen to anybody under any circumstances. So,
no matter what
to his family, you know, a big shout out and, you know, big prayers to you. And we are definitely keeping you in our prayers.
Yes, yes. Now, Mr. Arthur Wright was saying something. He said the questioning by the DA at this trial is twisted. Asking a witness if they understand the English language is an insult, it's considered dialect, even if it's supposedly broken. The real truth is that American English is an offshoot of the King's English from the UK, so is American English proper? Now, which that is true, but let's not stray away from the topic, because that is true. Like, the English that we speak is broken. It's not really, it is an offshoot of the King's English. But now, the DA questioning, because I haven't really been keeping up with the trial and all that, because it's disgusting. To me, for someone to actually, like, for this whole thing to be drawn out the way it's being drawn out. Like, because we live in a country where they talk about due process. Due process, to me, is selective.
I would have to say yes, also on that. You know, it's about how much money you have and
Or who you know,
or basically sometimes the color of your skin.
Exactly.
Let's get real here.
Yeah, and I believe, from my understanding, his father was an ex-judge. Zimmerman's father was an ex-judge.
That's
enough to be said right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's enough to be said right there. So, some of the people commented, Arthur Wright commented and said, the news outlet is manipulative. You just have to read between the lines, which is very true, especially like a Fox News or something like that.
Fox News can be so atrocious.
Yeah, and they're very blatant. They're very blatant.
Very blatant, very atrocious. It's, yeah, I don't even go there, you know. I really don't.
Exactly. And someone named Kira Skullark said, a lot of people are claiming because she lied, she's not credible. Who really cares about that? She was the last person to talk to Trayvon, according to phone records, and I believe she's credible because she is not giving coach testimony. She is just being herself. Now, to be honest with you, I don't even know like what this whole thing is about because, like I said, it kind of disgusts me. You have a kid, a 17-year-old kid that was on his way home from the store, the so-called neighborhood watch guy. First of all, I didn't know you can just walk around with a gun during neighborhood watch.
You shouldn't be walking around with a gun. If you
exactly.
are not an officer of the law, mandated or put in by the state or county or town, wherever you know, however it goes by, then you should not be having a gun. I don't care in what facet that you are, you know, what security facet that you're in, basically. Well, I can't even say that. But if it's not mandated by your state or your city for you to carry, then you should not be carrying. Now, in that case, if he was not supposed to be having a gun, then all bets are off and he is guilty. I'm sorry.
Well, my thing is this. It's obvious
because
that
also in the dispatch call, the dispatch said, do not follow him. Why did he continue to follow him?
Yeah. Because he was just determined to do what he wanted to do.
Exactly. Now,
like, you know,
right there, you were told not to follow the man, and you followed. You know, so...
Well, you know, he got a gun. You know how some cats are. He got a gun, so he's feeling real big and brave. He's a real man because he got a gun.
Hmm.
Like, yeah, whatever. It's just sad, man, that has to even witness something like this go down. It's a shame at a trial like this.
I think it's a little disgusting on how they're trying to rip this girl apart. You know.
And what now? This girl. Who is this girl?
I think it's his friend.
Okay, because he was
exactly
on the phone with somebody he was on the phone with somebody when all of this was like kind of, you know, when he was approached by a senator.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I see it like this. Like I said, it's a damn shame when you can't even walk from the store. Like, mind your own business. Same if you can't even walk from the store and without something going wrong.
It is.
Then they wonder why.
You know, it's just. No, it just goes to show that we still have a long way to go in this, you know, in this country. We still have a long way to go. You know, due to people's, you know, ignorance, fear, you know.
I think it even kind of goes beyond the scope of the country. I think that we need to really look at ourselves human-wise.
And I'm going to tell you this. It isn't so much about the race. It is about human and just our differences. It's just the differences between us as humans. You know, whatever difference is, you know, it's viewed as, well, you know, you shouldn't be on that side, you should be on this side, or we're better. Like, if you have everybody in red shirts over here and everybody in blue shirts over here, there's going to be a rift even right there. Well, we're better because we're wearing red shirts. We're better because we're wearing blue shirts.
I mean, it even goes to like,
I just came from, you know, overseas, and I was in Bahrain. And, you know, here you have two sects, the Shia and the Sunni. You know, it's not a color thing. It's more of a religion thing, you know, because you got the Sunni Muslims and the Shia Muslims. And it's all about a fight of power. So even there, it's not one thing, it's another. And we just need to just come together as humans and just accept people for who they are. You know, I wish that we could just get past the differences and just look at people for who they are as a person. As an individual, how do they stand as an individual? Not as a group, but as an individual. You know, how is that person in society?
And with that,
you know,
that definitely slides into our topic of tonight, which is the police.
Ooh.
Release it for the job. Set it off, brother.
I'm gonna let you handle this one. You know,
chicken.
I'm gonna let you pop it off first, Papa. I'm gonna let you get the blazing on it.
All right. Listen. Make no mistake. A good majority of the urban youth or just people who live in impoverished communities or communities that are slightly darker than other communities seem to have some type of issue with the police, whether it's NYPD, whether it's Oklahoma police, whatever. It seems to be an issue, and it's been an ongoing issue for years.
I used to want to be a cop.
Mm-hmm.
I was all for being a cop. I was going to take the test and all that. But you know what stopped me? Bro, I had to really think about something, because I think years ago I had saw something on the news and I really had to ask myself, do I really want to become a cop? I think it was something on the news where police had to respond to some situation where there was some type of killing and it was a child killed or something like that. And I thought to myself, if I roll up on the scene and I actually have to see like somebody's kid like dead or like some type of carnage and there's a child involved or just somebody, you know, in general, just another human in general. I'm not gonna lie. If you're caught and I catch you, your trip to the precinct is going to be a long. It's going to be the longest ride of your life. I'm not gonna lie. Like, people can say what they want to say about me. I don't really give a damn. You know what I'm saying? But my whole thing is, I'm gonna tell the truth. It's going to be the longest ride of your life. Because no one has the right to take anyone else's life. No one has the right to just go around hurting people like that. But we hear about it and we see about it too much in the news. So then you have people who take these jobs, they become cops, they become, you know, law enforcement, and look what they have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. Look what they have to deal with. They have to deal with the scourge. You have to deal with people, with child molesters, with murderers, killers, little petty things. They got to deal with attitude all day long. Well, what's yo, girl? I said, you know what? Nah, I can't do it. because, you know what I'm saying, I'm like I said, I'm going to keep it 100. I would excessively force it, busting your ass all the way back to the precinct just because. Because you know what? The system, as much as the system want to talk about justice, what really justice is issuing out? Nowadays, cats seem like, it's like jail is like the rite of passage. You go there, you get 3 hots in the cot, you get good medical, you get to read, you get to get your diploma, you get to get degrees and stuff like that, you get to work out. I mean, come on. It's like jail has been made into this, like, social community.
It almost sounds like the a resort almost.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like a resort. And nowadays, you're getting anything in jail. You're getting drugs in jail. Listen, it's sad to say, but you got some. What's this whole thing with some of these female COs? They sleeping with the inmates. Are you serious? All the men out here, you sleeping with an inmate? But just gonna leave that one alone. But yeah, man. I mean, who's really up for that job? You got some people that take this job and they sincerely want to do something for their community or make a change in society. I commend them on that. I wanted to be that person. But then I realized there's a price that comes with that. You start to lose yourself. You can start to lose part of your humanity when you start to see the depravity and just the utter and sheer disrespect and nonsense that goes on day to day. We'll never be privy to all of it because we don't wear these uniforms. We don't have the jobs to go out there and just do that. But the police do. And it's a hard job for a lot of them that want to do real police work. But then you have the others.
Okay.
You have the ones, huh?
Well, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I hear where what you're coming from. You know, but I just don't like the other side. As far as the ticketing goes, you know, I think that's a bunch of crap. When there is a quota set, there's a quota, but there is no quota. You ask any cop, and you ask them, is there a quota in tickets that you have to give out? They'll probably tell you no. But inside their office or their precinct, if they don't give out a certain number of tickets or a certain number of arrests, then they're looked at in a certain way, which I think is absolutely disgusting. Because here you are, you're forcing their hand. You're literally forcing their hands to do something that maybe, and otherwise, if it wasn't imposed, they wouldn't do. To get somebody a ticket, to put somebody in handcuffs, when it's not really warranted, I find that disgusting. And then you put records on people that shouldn't have records because you're forcing these officers to do things that they really shouldn't be doing. Why force them? Why is there a quota to make an arrest? If it's not warranted, then leave people alone. I can understand if you get a call and you have to go in and make an arrest, that's fine. But to give these quotas, well, you have to arrest so-and-so, so many people and give out so many tickets, I think that's a bunch of bullcrap.
Well,
because what's going on is these guys are giving out bogus tickets also. If my car is parked legally parked, and then you throw a bogus ticket on there, now I have to go into the court and fight it, and half the time you're not going to get over, even if it's a bogus ticket. So I say cut out the nonsense, cut out the shenanigans of these, you know, these quotas that these police officers and traffic agents have to give out. I'm sorry to say it, but I'm going to say it. It's a bunch of bullshit.
Well, all right. And I do agree, but that's somebody else's political agenda. Like, that has nothing to do like
you know what?
Whether
it is somebody else's political agenda or whatever, it's a bunch of crap and it needs to stop, because what it also does is it puts the police in the negative eye. Oh, well all you do is give out tickets anyway for nothing. And it's true. Or you harassing people for nothing. Why? Because you're forcing them to make an arrest.
Well, exactly. But that's the... All right. I believe this started with Giuliani, with that whole...
You know what? I don't know when and where
it started.
I know one thing, the crap needs to stop.
Well, dude, it's not going to stop because it's already been implemented.
It needs to.
And I believe this is why
some of these officers get hurt, because they get their hand forced. They're doing things they probably otherwise wouldn't do under pressure. Now, I'm not saying that about all cops in no way, shape, or form. I think some cops just want to be a-holes. I've met them.
Well, now, but see, then you got the other type. See, that's the thing. You got the other types of cops. Now, you got the police that are actually out there actively doing their job, trying to do the right thing.
Kudos to them.
God bless them. But then you got the other cops who, some of them just joined the force for
because
the badge.
Because their daddy was a
with.
Cop or their brother was a cop, so they decided to be a cop and they're
Well, that's different. They may join because of family issues, but then, you know, because their family was a cop. But you got the other ones that are totally like, oh yeah, I'm gonna just get a badge because I was a sucker in school, so I'm gonna get this badge and I'm gonna show the world that I'm not a sucker
anymore.
Well, you're still a sucker, because if you gotta use your badge as an extension of your balls, you're a punk.
You can't stand up on your own 2 feet. You can only stand up when you're in uniform, and you're not even standing.
You know what?
And a crutch.
But, bro, it's beyond the uniform, because once you swear in, once you're law enforcement, that's your protection. That's your shield right there. So there's a big difference between me coming over there punching you in your face and you're just you. But when after you take that oath and you become a law enforcement, then I assaulted a law enforcement officer. See, that's where the courage comes in. That's where they get that courage from, because they know, oh, somebody's always going to have my back. I'm law enforcement, so nobody can't do anything to me. But once again, you're still a sucker, because you got guys out there, you got real cops, real police, real dudes that's like, yo, this badge don't mean nothing. I'll bust your ass day and night. And I respect them. I respect those dudes because they don't let the hype go to their head.
Allegedly.
You know what I mean? No, I mean, a lot of them don't. I mean, listen, your job is one thing. Who you are is totally different. You can have the job of law enforcement, but that doesn't mean that you're like, I'm law enforcement. No, you're not. You're just the average Joe Schmo who happens to have a job as a law enforcement officer.
Yeah.
But it's like they try to ingrain this way of life into you. They try, you know, I've had a close-hand experience with the whole police thing. And
Yes, you have.
To be honest with you, I didn't believe it at first, but yo.
You're a believer now.
Yo, when this person got into the academy, it was probably only in academy 1 week, and I saw the change. I saw
flip
the change
mode.
Already.
Flip mode.
Yeah, straight up and down, flip mode. Like, wow. Like, jobs like this are not for weak-minded people. They're not for gullible people, and they're not for followers. Like, you can't be a follower and be in law enforcement, because then you're just going to do what everybody else does. If you're not strong-minded, then you're not really going to make it. And don't, you know what I'm saying? Then they wonder why, you know, people like police have the highest divorce rate, one of the highest divorce rates in the country. Because, yo, they some of them seem to think that, you know, they can do anything, they can say anything, they can go anywhere. Like, yo, if you got a spouse that's been riding with you since day one, you know, after 2, 3, 5 years, you don't shit on your spouse. You keep it riding. I mean, my aunt always used to tell me, it makes you rest in peace, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. So just because you got a badge, you think you run around there and sleep with everybody? You think you can just shit on your family? Well, you know what? There's consequences to pay. And my line of field, listen, I see a lot and have come across a lot of ex-law enforcement getting pensions, but they work in second jobs because they made all types of freaking kids all over the place, or the ex-wife is getting them for alimony. But you thought you were super bad. Now your ass is retired and you're still working hard. So, you know what I'm saying, who's the dickhead? You know what I'm saying, who's the real jerk? But like I said, I'm not knocking, because you got to look at both sides of the fence when it comes to law enforcement. Wait, real quick, 646-378-1882. Calling number, 646-378-1882. I'm not knocking them. Because like I said, I used to want to be there, but I know my limits. Like, when you look at situations like Sean Bell, when you look at situations like Rodney King, and that's just to name some high-profile stuff. I mean, come on. Sean Bell.
Wow. Yeah.
How did that happen? How did a dude that was about to get married in a few hours get killed? I mean, I remember when I was speaking to the same said person that I was close to in law enforcement, said there was a rule that you're not supposed to shoot at a moving car. What happened? How did this dude get killed? How did all of these shots just manage to wind? I don't get it. I really don't get it. I'm not going to get into the details, because to a degree, I really don't care about the people that were on the other side of the gun. I care about the people who got hurt. I care about the dude that got killed. Because unless you were out there doing something totally against the law, unless you were out there running somewhere with a gun in your hand, shooting at people, or doing some type of terroristic action or something like that, I don't see why that dude lost his life. I don't see why them other cats was up in the car and got shot at. I don't see why that happened. But see, that's that cowboy mentality that some of them have. Those are those chumps.
I mean, because you, from that, you even had a one round even wind up going into the air train.
Yeah, I saw the video. And for those that don't live in New York or those that are familiar with the area, like over there in Jamaica, Queens, you know, that's blocks away.
Blocks away and up in the air. Air train is what, like 20 feet up in the air?
Yep. Shattered the glass.
Like, really?
I don't know how it happened, but it happened.
That's why I'm like, listen.
I don't believe that was a justified shooting. I just think that was just, like you said, a cowboy shooting.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that cowboy shit played out in the movies years ago. That was a way of life in the West, in Westerns or all the way in the West years ago. Listen, you can't have a civilized
Diallo case? From years back. What was that, 41 shots?
I'll let you speak on that if you got something to say.
I mean, well, let's just go back in time a little bit. He was a young man, you know, was coming home from work, stopped by the police, went for his wallet, and they shot him, what, 41 times?
Okay. I believe he was a gentleman of East African descent, I believe, Amadou Diallo. He was in the vestibule. He was going into the vestibule.
Now, wait, but I do have a question, though. We got to question this. Now, whether, you know, did race play a factor in that?
Well,
do you believe?
All right. Are you asking me a question? Or
yes.
But before we go into that, let me say this.
Because I'm going to tell you just like this. Hell yeah, it did.
Well, I mean, you had four white undercovers in the vehicle who saw a tall black man going into his building. They claimed that they got a call about somebody doing something, and they're driving by. They see him. He gets nervous. They probably ask him for his ID. He goes to reach. Either some asshole screams out gun or somebody gets nervous, pop off a shot. The next thing you know, somebody thinks that he's shooting back, and that's what it is, 41 shots. Now, they try to justify and say those many shots because, you know, they get nervous. And if somebody's shooting, if you got one cop or two cops shooting, you don't know if somebody's shooting back. I mean, it's nobody knows what happens when your adrenaline starts pumping. Like, I go to the range. You go to the range, it's a controlled situation. But when you're out there,
I say this.
You never know what happens.
If a man has his hands up, how is he shooting at you?
Well, bro, you know what the thing is? We weren't there, so we'll never know the real facts.
If a gun is not being pointed at you, what are you shooting?
Well, see, that's old school police. I remember back when we was back in the projects, and you had certain cops that always came around, and they actually knew your mother. Like, they knew certain people. Yeah, they actually knew, like, yo, I know, yo, you better get home before I tell your mother. Something like that. You actually had cops that gave a damn.
Yeah, whether they were white or black.
Yeah, white or black. It didn't matter. White, black, Puerto Rican, Russian. It didn't matter. They gave a damn about the community. They gave a damn about the job. They gave a damn about it themselves and had more respect for themselves instead of going out there and getting on that or being on that cowboy mentality. So back in the days, it used to be a thing where if you saw a gun or if you had to see something first before you can start popping off.
Yeah.
Now you can just be reaching to scratch your ass and you getting shot. And do I think these cats need more training? Hell yeah. Beyond the sensitivity training. They need more firearms training. They just need more people skills in general. Because, listen, I'm going to tell you like
that's
this.
What they
the whole stop. Oh, dude, look at that psychological. I don't know what that psychological is about, but first of all, it must be something weak. It must be something really weak because I don't see how these guys are getting out here. Some of them are doing what they're doing. Listen, it's not all cops, but you got a lot of bad apples making it bad for the good ones in the bunch.
Oh yeah, that's
there
true.
There are some good ass cops out there. One which I will put his name out there, Roberto Stokes. He's a good dude. There's some good guys out there that want to do the job. They want to help. I know another one, Michael Bonanno. We used to go to school with him at LIC. Yeah, good guys. Good people. But you got some real bad apples that's making it bad for them. So no one's going to differentiate when they see a uniform. They see a uniform. And they're going to automatically think every white face in a uniform is racist, or every white face in a uniform is coming to kill me, or every white face in a uniform is just a problem. That's not true.
No, it's not
true. It's not true. But then you do have some of these white faces that are in a uniform that's like, I don't like niggas, I don't like specs, I don't like this, and they're going to fucking pay. Because they're moving in my neighborhood, making shit bad, and I feel like just taking something out on somebody today. But it's not just a white face. It could be a black face, too. Listen, you keep your personal shit personal. But when you put on that uniform, you need to have some CPR, some courtesy, professionalism, and respect. You need to. But when the hiring standards are so damn low, because you don't need 60 credits to go out there and pump bullets in somebody. That whole 60 credit thing was just instituted because a lot of blacks and Hispanics started going to school and getting their degrees and joining PD. So they was like, hey, well, this is for NYPD, of course. So they was like, hey, we got to do something to slow them down. Actually, I'm sorry, before then, coming out of high school, you had a lot of blacks and Hispanics joining the force. So what did they do? They instituted the 60 credits. So if you ain't got credits, then you can't join. But then what happened? Years later, blacks and Hispanics, minorities, we started saying, fuck that, we going to school. Because we want to get these jobs. And we getting them, but they still mad. Because it was never in the cards for us to have jobs like this.
Probably not.
You can't be in law enforcement and be a racist. You can't be in law enforcement and be biased. But see, that's the problem. It's the human factor. Not a lot of people out there can do their job without being biased or without being discriminatory. A lot of people just can't do it. But we give these people these jobs and these badges, and they have to go out there and do X, Y, and Z. So put it like this. You can have a dude, let's just say hypothetically, you can have a white dude from wherever, you know, take this job of a cop. You know, they put him in an urban area, and he's never been a racist a day in his life. But then you got the wildlife looking at him and treating him like trash. It's automatically assuming he's a racist because he's white in the uniform. So after a while, you know, I wouldn't blame the dude for starting to build up an attitude. Like, yo, I'm out here to fucking help you and you want to shit on me.
That's understandable. I could understand that mentality. That I could understand.
But you know what? It probably happens more than we will ever know.
Probably does.
Because I'll never sit there and say that every white person is a racist. Hell no. That's the farthest from the truth. But of course, society and the media always grabs onto the negative and they push it out there. Because they need to sensationalize the news. They need to sensationalize the situation.
Well, that's another topic on another day.
About
the media and how they, you know, do certain things to get ratings. You know, if it's like a racially motivated topic, they harp on it.
I mean, the whole thing is this. Is Trayvon Martin's situation, is it really about race or is it really about just some dude, some overzealous couldn't make it into the ranks of police academy dude who just wanted to be a Charles Bronson vigilante and take things into his own hands? He could just be a mentally disturbed dude who just felt like shooting somebody. he felt like getting into a situation that was over his head. He thought he was being a hero.
I think what it was, maybe he tried to be a cop and he wasn't cut out to be a cop.
Yo, and you have a lot of cats that are like that too.
You know, maybe he just didn't have the intelligence. I mean, to me, he just doesn't look that intelligent anyway. So.
Nah, he doesn't. I mean, listen. I mean, if you walk like a duck, crack like a duck, I guess it's a duck, right? But like I said, it doesn't have to be a thing where, you know what I'm saying, it's racially motivated. Like some of these shootings out here, it doesn't have to be racially motivated, but like once again, law enforcement. Like these guys, a lot of them got to be more responsible. You got to be more accountable. You got to realize there's liabilities to this shit. You just can't go around popping off your gun and thinking somebody's going to fudge the paperwork for you all the time.
Well, because that's the problem. Maybe what it is some of them feel that they can do that.
Well, they do it. They do it. But in the end, God will get you. In the end, God will get you. Just
everything,
don't get you, God will get you.
Everything comes out, you know, into the light sooner or later. What you do in the dark comes out in the light.
Exactly. So,
sooner or later.
Here's this saying, and of course I forgot who said it, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. So the thing is, when you give certain individuals a certain level of power that they're not ready for, forget about it. All hell breaks loose. You just imagine giving that sucker. Now, I will use a prime example. There was one cat that I used to go to high school with, and he will remain nameless. But he used to get bullied a lot.
Why do I have a feeling I know who you're talking about now?
You probably do. I think we were in junior high school.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he used to get bullied a lot, and I found myself getting in trouble a few times because I stepped up for him. Like, I don't like bullies. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people, like, but my sister would tell me, oh, you have this attitude with law enforcement, you have this attitude with taking orders. Like, no, I don't have an attitude with law enforcement. I don't have an attitude with taking orders. I don't have an attitude with anybody. But you ain't going to piss on my head and tell me it's rain. That's first and foremost. Don't get mad if I challenge what you say if it don't sound right to me. Like I said, I don't have an attitude. And that's just true, but that's just anybody. Don't be mad at me because I'm not going to let you bully me. Kick rocks. I'm not going to let you bully me.
If I have a question about something that I feel is, you know, morally wrong, then yeah, I'm going to question it. I don't care who you are or what rank you hold. If I feel it's morally wrong, then yeah, I'm going to question it.
Exactly.
That's why I do things, you know.
Exactly. So back to the story. So yeah, I found myself getting in trouble a few times, you know, stepping up to the plate for him, you know, because I didn't want to see him get beat up or nothing. So, years later, I see this dude in a uniform. He's a cop. And
yeah.
I'm like, hey, yo, man. I'm like, what's up? You know, how you doing? Blah, 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 blah. This, that, and the third. Dude gonna ask me, you staying out of trouble? I looked at him like, are you serious? This is the dude that used to be in the stay up in the dean's office because I was protecting your ass, and you would have asked me, am I staying out of trouble?
Well, that's why I probably would have asked him, are you still a punk?
But no, I wasn't going to. I wasn't going to steal his shine, man. I wasn't going to steal his shine. Well, hold on. We got somebody calling in with a whole bunch of 11111s. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, what? What is that?
You're on the air. Welcome to the menu. Oh, wow. I ain't pressed the button yet. Hello, you're on the air. 11111. You're on the menu. What's up? Hello? Hello? Okay. I guess caller 1111. 111 is not on. So, but
Oh wow, they hung up too.
No, I just cut them off.
Oh, you just cut them off. Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, they weren't responding. So if they want to call in, they definitely go. Oh, definitely are welcome to call back. I don't know if it was a bad connection or something, but
yeah, well, want to
welcome.
Yeah, well,
call.
Yes. All ones, will you please call back all ones? We would like to get some feedback and
want
to hear what you have to say. Thank you.
Wait, you didn't find that scary, all those ones calling?
Yeah, I did actually, because that's... what did I tell you before?
I know.
What did I tell you before?
What did I tell you before? I know, but listen,
okay.
I am not in no way, shape, or form. First of all, I shouldn't even have to use this disclaimer, but the views expressed by Brother L and Brother B are not the views of everybody. Like, this is conversation. That's what the menu was all about. You know,
that's
man,
right, conversation. So if you want to call in and conversate, then conversate. This is what we're doing. We're conversating. We're not here to kind of, we're not beating up on any police department per se. We're just talking about things in general. There's good and there's bad in everything. So please don't get it twisted.
It was never
mind. If you just happen to be one of those sour apples, then that's you. And that's your own thing. Sorry.
Nah, but. Like I said, you can't, like, you have to have a certain principle, a moral code and ethics to yourself that you will not go against when taking a job. Once again, let me go back to
that. I believe you got to have, like, a certain caliber, you know.
Yes, you do.
You got to be of certain integrity, have certain valor for this position. You know, and a lot of people do not have that, as we know.
Well, wait a minute. Not to cut across, but you got some people that start out that way. But like I said, given the nature of the job and the things that they have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, it's going to change you. It's going to kill you. You're going to die spiritually. Physically,
well,
mentally,
that's where you have to have a certain commitment. You have to make a certain commitment to that line of job. You got to have a certain commitment. You know, because you made an oath, and then you got to live up to that. Now you go against the grain, and you know you get caught up in all that, you know, propaganda that goes on within the system. Then you just another one that got caught up and swept away.
Oh, now you also have other issues beyond that, because all right, I've heard of cases and situations, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but. What happens if you're in a patrol car or you're somewhere with your partner and your partner does something stupid, but you got to go with it? Your partner does some real dumbass shit, but you got to go with it because you can't, you know what I'm saying? All it takes is for you to be, to just go against the blue wall of silence.
Yeah, exactly.
And your life is done.
We know that you guys got that whole code, you know, chivalry thing, that whole code thing that, you know, you guys don't want to, you know, go against, like, be like a turncoat, basically.
Yeah, but the whole thing is this. You can't go around defending wrong people. Like, if your partner's wrong, you're wrong. If you're dirty, you're dirty. I mean, look at that. What was that movie, Serpico? This guy was trying to, it was Al Pacino. It was the movie Serpico. He was a cop, straight up. He wanted to help. He wanted to do things. I think the setting took place back in, like, the late 70s, probably, like, the mid to late 70s.
Okay.
He was a cop. He spoke against the corruption in the police department of New York. And it's a true story. And basically, his own people, cops, set him up to get killed.
Ah, okay.
Now, my thing is this. If you set your own up to get killed or for something to happen to him, how the hell am I supposed to trust you?
How
am I supposed to trust you? What level of trust am I supposed to give you knowing that you're setting up your own people and it's supposed to be this blue wall, like brothers in arms and stuff? How am I supposed to trust you? And you just put your own brother out there to get killed. Just to cover up your dirty deeds. See, this is the thing that I'm talking about. Unless you got straight shooters, you can't expect 100% from a lot of these people because, once again, it's the human factor that plays a part. No one is perfect. People are going to do dumb-ass shit. People are going to take things further than where they need to be taken. You got people who have situations. What's that thing called? People on the take. You got some people that are going to take money. You got some people that are not going to take money. You got people that are going to turn around and be excessive with the force. And you got some people that are like, hey, that's not my thing. But if you got a partner that's like that, it's like, what do you do? And then if you turn around and you switch up partners, then you're going to be looked at as, like, funny. Because, you know, the whole thing is this. Yeah, because you got chicks with dicks. And they turn around and they're like, oh, well, he doesn't want to ride with him. Or he doesn't want to be his partner no more because of X, Y, and Z. Oh, that's the type of guy he is? Oh, okay, I got you. So then they want to label you. Like, I'm sure that these from uniforms to undercover, these guys all got their problems. They all got their issues, especially when it comes down to this job. That's why I'm not making excuses for all, but I will say for some, it is a tough-ass job. To the ones who wake up in the morning and that are trying to make a difference, to the ones that just want to do their chore and get home to their families or shit, get home to their dogs or their fish or whatever, who just want to have a good day. You're always going to have some asshole in the street or some asshole that you work with are going to look for you to have a bad one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of pressure. Just like you said with the tickets and the quota. That's not on PD. That's someone else's political agenda that was thrown on top of PD. If you listen, I need productivity. I need arrests. We need this because, I mean, when you look at it, it goes back to our first show and things that we were talking about. It's all about part of a bigger plan. Flooding the jail system with people. It's a privatization of jails. It's all a part of a bigger plan.
Well, it certainly is. It's pretty evident.
Yeah, exactly. But check this out. You're walking down the street, you're a 15-year-old walking down the street with your, you know what I'm saying, with your buddies. Cops stop. You know, yo, what you doing? Well, we just walking, because nowadays, you just walking is constituting you. You walking and being black is just constituting you doing something, especially with this whole stop and frisk bullshit.
Oh, my gosh. And you see, even that's under fire right now.
Of course, because, listen, whatever happened to probable cause?
Like it's out the door.
The real probable cause, like, I have a reason to do this, not because I heard something, because I saw something. Now, you walking along with your buddies, and you're like, yo, what you stop me for? Like, yo, and you know, there's no professionalism, there's no courtesy and no respect. I can stop you because I fucking want to, punk. Now get up against the wall.
That's that bullshit.
You got a little verbal exchange. Next thing you know, they want to take the kid in. Next thing you know, the kid get hit with a misdemeanor.
There now, you go. That's that arrest thing I was talking about. Hey, now, I got an arrest today.
Now, exactly, but what happens when that kid go fill out an application for a job? See, a lot of these dumbasses with their pants hanging off their ass and don't know no better, when your stupid ass get locked up and you turn around and go put in for a job application and they ask you that question, have you ever been arrested? And you check yes, no matter what it was for, you can't put, oh, I was just walking and he just stopped me. Jackass, as soon as you check yes, they're probably going to be like, we're not hiring him. I'm not saying it's definite, but it's to their discretion if they want to deal with you or not, depending on what happened.
9 times out of 10, you ain't going to get dealt with.
Exactly. They give you these little misdemeanors. They stick this on you to put a black eye on these cats. But that was, once again, that was someone's political agenda. And I believe that started with Giuliani and this quality of life bullshit where cops need to be out there writing tickets, quotas, and all this other stuff. Like you're forcing productivity.
Exactly.
Listen, I think New York City has the biggest police force in the country.
Yes, we do. It is fact.
And why the hell does it seem like we have a shitload of crime?
Because we do.
Because it pays. Simple and plain, it pays. If there was no crime, how do you think cops get paid? If there was no crime, how do you think judges get paid? If there was no crime, you know, everybody got to make money. I mean, hey, listen, even my job, if there was no crime, what would happen? I mean, hey, I'd rather be out of work with no crime than there actually be crime and still have a job. It would be nice to have a peaceful society, but peaceful society don't make money. You can't control a peaceful society.
Sure you can.
Nah.
It's just, it just doesn't fit to some people's agenda or money ways or sticking it to certain individuals. Just put it that way.
Well, this is true. But really, when you have the fear of crime, you can control people more. When you just have when you put fear in the mix, fear, you can control people more. And that's just what it is. But like I said, it's certain attitudes, certain type of people just like really, I don't think are built for these jobs. Like you shouldn't just take this job because your father was one and your brother was one. Listen, if that's not your thing, go do something else. But if that's your thing, do it. But do it wholeheartedly. Do it because it's
something
that
you want
to do. Yeah, exactly. Because remember who you are and who you represent and what you're all about. See, the thing with me, another reason why I couldn't become a cop, because I'd be busting other cops' asses. Because it's like, yo, you're not going to go out here and do dirt in front of me. Because I'm out here to help these people. I'm out here to help the community. I'm out here to get, oh, damn, right? I'm out here to make a difference.
Yeah, I heard that. I saw that lightening up by you.
Wow.
Yeah, wow indeed.
getting a little scared here. No, you stop. But you know what I'm saying? Like I couldn't do it because I, you know what I'm saying? Somebody probably would transfer me far, far away. I would have lost my job already. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, I got you, man. I mean, like, I thought about it, but then I was like, you know, certain things I probably wouldn't even really put up with, you know, wouldn't and couldn't put up with.
Did you see that?
And you know what? And that's the whole thing. You know, it's like, what would you really be able to put up with?
I'm talking like internally.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, like I said, there's certain things that I just really couldn't cope, man. You know, like I said, it's just that it's the your coworkers, you know, your lieutenants, your sergeants, like everybody, anybody who has a bad day, they're gonna come in there and make sure you got a bad day, and that's the wrong job to have a bad day and act stupid.
Oh man!
Like in my field, as much as I would like to get out there and like. When somebody gets on my nerve, tell them, yo, F off. Or go jump in a lake. I can't do that. Got to be professional. You know what I'm saying? Got to be courteous because that same stuff you put out there, you don't want it coming back to you.
Negative Ghost Rider. Negative Ghost Rider.
You don't want that. But a lot of people, I mean, yo, that's why this is a big question out there. Who's really built for the job? And I don't think too many people really think about that. They just think about the hype in the beginning, but like I said, man, it's the part of you that dies when you start to see the worst of humanity. Even though there's times you're going to see some good stuff. There's some times where it's going to be rewarding. It's what happens when you see the negative. How do you handle that? How do you deal with that? I mean, that's why you got a lot of these cops. They have other vices, whether it's violence, a bottle, or they're abusing something, or they're abusing somebody. You know, it's a hard job.
It is because I know that, you know, you're not supposed to become like intertwined with what's going on. Like you gotta remain emotional, like no emotions, you know, when it comes to certain scenes, certain. But it's hard, you know. A woman gets robbed and beat up, and you see her. You know she has a family. You know that there's somebody out there that loves her or cares for her. Somebody gets killed. That's something that's hard for them to deal with. But yet they got to, you know, move on from that.
I mean, some of the images that they may see, I'm sure it haunts you.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm sure it haunts them. Because some of them are the first responders to some of these horrible images.
That is true.
And it's like,
come up on a traffic accident, and, you know, it's a family of four, and, you know, one of the children has, you know, expired right there. And the mother is asking, My babies. What can you say to her right then and there that one of her children is gone? How do you handle that as an officer of the law, you know?
Listen.
So, you know, like we say, you know, I mean, like we said, we know that you guys have a lot that you have going on there. You know, it's just so many layers that you guys have to deal with. You know, from performing heroic acts to, you know, trying to get out of some racially motivated, you know, tension.
I mean, it's sad, but sometimes...
Go ahead, bro.
It's sad, like when you say the whole tension, it's like sometimes it turns into a situation where it's us against them.
Yes, it does, and it really shouldn't... It shouldn't be like that. You know, when you see, you know, the police, you're supposed to be like, you know, like, yeah, there goes the heroes, there's our protectors, there's the ones, those are the ones that are, you know, shielding us from the bad guys. That's our ammo to the bad guys. That's our shield from those who are harming. But a lot of times you find yourself going, oh, man, I hope this guy don't think about pulling me over. Or why is this cop looking at me like that? You shouldn't even have to think that. Like, when I went to San Francisco, okay, the police department out there, it seemed to be, like, a lot more different. Bro.
Yeah.
I know this is called the menu, but...
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Made me lose my train of thought now.
I'm sorry, sir.
Man, threw me off with that. This man is up here scraping the bottom of the pot.
No, I'm not. I was just transferring something into a bowl.
Yeah, I know. You're getting your chef on this. I hear it. We all hear it. What are you trying to make us hungry?
Nah,
I will come over there and catch that damn pot.
Wait till it goes, you know, gets visual, then we on. But yeah, as you were saying, San Francisco.
Yeah. When I was out there in San Francisco, the police seemed a whole lot different from NYPD.
Uh-huh.
A lot different. Like you could almost feel it. It was like, you know, that they were there. It was like they were there. Yeah, we want to help you. We are here. We are not here to harass you. We are here to help you. Like, one of the first things I saw was, it seemed like a little kid was lost, and there was a woman with this little boy, and there was the police, you know, like helping him, like, you know, like, okay, well, where do you live? You know, they wasn't out there, you know, harassing or anybody. They were just doing what they were supposed to do. You know, being there, being seen by the people, you know, and just showing, you know.
It was serving
exactly.
The community.
Absolutely. They was a deterrent to the ones that would do bad. That's what they look like. They look like a deterrent to the ones, to the no-gooders.
And that's good. That's how
you know. I wasn't looked at by them. They was, you know.
Well, hold
you
on.
Know, questions that you know. What happened? We got another call.
5776, you're on the air with the menu. Brother Allen, Brother B, what's up?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Oh, hey! That Pierre! It's Mr.
Yeah.
Pierre!
Hey, Pierre, how you doing, bro?
Good, and you?
Oh, well, you know, good and blessed and good, my dear brother. Now, as we are here, you know, talking about law enforcement and what role that they do portrayed in our community.
You know, I think it's a job.
Yes. In that form and fashion. I don't know how long have you been listening, but what would you like to say or add to this? Well, let me ask you a question, first of all. How do you view the police?
I just kind of mixed feelings about them. You know what I'm saying? At one point, in situations like the Sean Bell things that have, has me look at cops another way. But
right.
Then, as somebody who does security and, who does armed security and know what it's like to have to be approached by people and, not knowing what they, what their intent is, I understand, somewhat of what the type of pressure they go through on a daily basis,
Yes. Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Now, go ahead, my brother. Yes, finish, please. By all means, finish up.
My question, I wanted to ask you guys is, how do you guys feel about, cops today, where it seems like they're becoming cops? I don't know this, personally, but it seems as though they're cops nowadays. They're more so, they care more about the benefits. Like, they're becoming cops because of the pay and because of all the benefits versus the whole idea, of becoming a cop and wanting to protect your neighborhood and, people in general,
Well, I'm going to tell you what. If you are becoming a cop just for the benefits, you're in the wrong line of work. This is not for you. If this is why you joined the force, you made a bad and sad mistake, okay? Just for financial security, this is why you joined. You're not really a cop. You're just a person in a uniform. You're a poser. I got to say it. If this is your reasoning. Now, if you started off as that, as your reason, and you have adapted yourself to become a functional cop. I said functional cop, where you're doing the community service. Then that's a different story. But if you're just purely in it just for the money and you're not caring about the job, then shame on you. Shame on you.
And
you are a disgrace to the uniform if that's your reason. You're a disgrace. I'm saying and I'm calling you out. If that's your reason. Shame on you.
And other question.
You're making all cops look bad by doing that. By only doing it for financial gain and not for the benefit for the community. You're supposed to be for the community, by the community. But no, you're for the financial gain of it. And guess what? It's not that much paying in any way, you know it. So shame on you. Shame on you.
But it's the status. So you got to remember,
you're supposed to be representing the city and the citizens of this state or in any type of arena.
But
not for your own political gain.
It's about the
you
status.
You do it for the love of the job, not for the love of the money. But although some cops do get paid very well. That is true.
And some of them do get paid well. They get compensated well. But
if you're only doing it solely just for the pay and you literally don't care about what's going on outside of that, then yes, shame on you. You're a leech.
Mm-hmm.
You're a leech. You're a loser. You're a parasite. Shame on you. Because you're taking that, you've taken up a position that somebody else who was probably better suited could have been doing.
Well, it seems as though, wouldn't you guys say that they're more so lowering their standards for police officers, or are they, you guys feel as though they're increasing their standards?
Say that they're lowering standards.
Yeah, so it's like, it's weird because they're increasing the pay and the benefits, but yet they're lowering the standards.
Well, you know, I hope that that's, I mean, the standards shouldn't be lowered, you know, because then I believe that there becomes a degradation, you know, in that whole police society thing. When you have to lower standards, then what type of quality people are you getting? If you have to lower standards, anytime you lower standards for something, I don't think it's a good thing. Unless it was like, you know, ridiculous from the get go. So it was like, okay, well, you know what? We got to cut this out. We got to cut that out. But I mean, if it's like, you know, just to get people in per se, and so you're lowering the standards, then I don't think that's a good idea. If you're keeping it equal, like literally equal opportunity across the boards, that's something different. You know, just because you're making it equal opportunity does not mean that you're lowering standards. You know, I just want to say that.
Look at it like this. And I used to work on the truck, and used to have a lot of ex-cops, you know, ex-corrections that used to work there. And I used to work with them. And listen, I should say we used to work together. They had their stories, and a lot of them felt that the police of today are disgusting compared to the police of yesterday. Like I said, you had cops out there that actually took their time. They actually gave a damn. Like, when they put their life on the line, they literally put their life on the line because they believed in what they were doing. Nowadays, you have cops that are just taking the job for the power that comes with the badge, that status. Some of them are taking it for the perks and the benefits. Some of them may be doing it because I just get to carry a gun throughout the 50 states of the country. I mean, that's another reason. What you gonna say, Pete?
And also, some cops also take their job as, oh, well, I'm only on the clock from this time. When I'm off, I'm not a cop.
You know what's funny? Not to cut across, but there was an issue with that years ago in the paper. I mean, something happened, and the cop, like, he went and, like, jumped in the mixer. He was off duty, and he went and got into the mixer action. And they actually kind of came down on him. And they were like, listen, if you're off duty, call the police. Because in a lot of cases, if you're off duty, you don't have to, like, jump into, you're not in uniform. You know what I'm saying? Even though remember, it's like what I said earlier. Being a cop or being law enforcement doesn't define who you are. Either you are you, or you're that badge. Now, you got some people that are the badge. So they're cops 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But the whole thing is, we can all be cops because we're all obligated morally to help someone in need.
Exactly. You see something, you say something.
Or you do something if you can. Nobody says you have to run out there and save somebody from a burning building or, you know, rescue somebody from getting hit by a car. Nobody says you have to do that. But if that's in you to do, then you do what you feel is morally right.
Exactly.
Or you can turn around and call 911 and be like, hey, I just saw this guy rob this lady. I'm following him at a safe distance. We're on this street and that street and blah, blah, blah.
please hurry up and send somebody because I don't want them to get away and the lady's hurt.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you have options. Everybody has options. But like I said, you know, the thing is, you don't necessarily have to be that cop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I think that's the thing, that's the pressure that some of them deal with.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be that cop all the time. Be you. Because when you can't separate yourself from the job, that's when the drama really begins. Because you don't know who you are anymore. You lost your sense of self. And when you lose your sense of self, you're doomed. What direction are you going in? You don't even know. So the best thing to do is, listen, if I was a cop and I see something popping off, yo, I'm gonna call the uniforms. I'll keep an eye on the situation. I'll follow. If I feel like jumping and I jump in, if I don't want to jump in, yo, I'm going to call the cops. You don't necessarily have to respond. You're not obligated because you're not in uniform. You're not on the clock. We got another caller.
Oh,
let's
goody.
See. 0406, hey. You're on the air with the menu. What's up?
What's going on, Bay?
What's up? Who this?
Okay. It's Tamika.
Oh, what up, lady? What's going on?
Same old,
what's
same
up, Tamika?
Old.
All
right. Okay,
up,
so...
Good evening, Lady Tamika.
Hey, Brother L, what's going on?
You know, it's all good. It's going down.
She ain't no good.
You know
she
what
no
it
good.
Is.
She missed last week's episode, so she ain't no good. Anyway.
Oh, that's okay.
I had class. Don't hate on the sister because she's trying to get her education.
Lady Tamika,
you go ahead and you get that education. But as you know, we are here talking about the police department.
Well, not so much the police, it's just the law enforcement. Who's really
law enforcement,
for the
police
job.
Department, however you see fit to call.
Okay,
you know,
so how are
we just
want to
know, like what's your stance on the law enforcement of today?
Well, I think they're worse than the cops during the 60s, if you want the truth.
Wow. You think they're worse?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think
okay,
it
people, right there, progress has not been made in the police department from the 50s
okay, and
to now.
All right, I'll ask you like this. When they've gotten so bad to the point where a cop has gone over to blow up his ex-captain's house with the captain, the wife, and the kids in the house, I said we're pretty bad. Not to
oh,
mention.
Wait, where was that at?
Here in Jersey.
Wow. When,
oh, really?
When did this take place?
And it was in the West neighborhood. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. And let's go on to the fact that, you know, this whole shit with Trayvon Martin. Okay.
Whoa. There
the
we
cops,
go.
The cops knew. Actually, it's funny. The cops are walking in with this fucking gun and they do, like, he's the fucking man. They didn't really put the cuffs on this. They didn't put the cuffs on his ass when he was in the car.
No.
They didn't put the cuffs on his ass when he walked out of the car. They didn't put the cuffs on his motherfucking ass until he got right outside the booking area. Then he was like, yo, we got to do this. Man, get the fuck out of here. Now, if it was one of us, we'd have been beat, shot, hung, disemboweled, drawn and quartered.
Lady Tamika is throwing shots, and she is on fire.
Now,
go
here's
ahead,
the thing. The cuffs are in the 60s. This is their issue. They were stupid. They was just dumb. You know, they following orders from a dumbass, and they're dumbasses. You know, look, stupid follow stupid. There's no way around it. These cops, now, you got the cop in New York that was freaking charged with rape, denied it. The shit was proven, and he still let his ass go. Man, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, okay.
Are you for real right now?
Wow.
And when I say that they're worse than the cops during the 60s, I don't mean they're a trash on people. Because let's face it, any freaking, you know, nerd that got picked on in high school that became a cop, he's just, you know, he's just going to be a fucking asshole no matter what. You know? And our own is still fucking us over, no way around it. A black cop will freaking attack a black man quicker than a white cop will attack a black man. Now, that's some strange bullshit, but that's the truth of the matter. okay?
Well,
I mean, morally, you know, these cops are fucked up. They're just fucked.
Well, you know, not that, you know, I'm trying to, you know, take up for policemen, but, you know, bad news sells. So 9 times out of 10, you're going to hear about a cop doing something wrong versus a cop doing something good.
Oh, I'm not saying that you will, but, like, okay, I live in Dirty Jersey City.
Oh, wow.
Okay? I have been on the street, and I have seen these cops let these cats do whatever the fuck they want. I have seen people run for red lights in front of the cops. Cops are like, fuck it, I don't care.
Because they want to get, listen, like, either they're close to retirement or they want to get home at the end of the night. Simple and plain.
I'm saying, and if you gotta understand something, the section of Jersey City where I live at, see, I don't live in the hood. So, chances of them getting shot by me is like, I don't know, 1 out of maybe 2,000. Okay, now if we was in the hood, fuck it, I wouldn't stop. If I was a cop, I'd be like, fuck this, I'm driving around this bitch. But I'm just saying, I see people do shit in front of the cops, cops are like, fuck it. So,
but that's not,
but you know what? Yeah, I get your job as Holly Day. Look, I give cops credit, good cops. I give good cops credit, like I give firefighters credit. It's a dangerous job. You're putting your life on the line 8 to 12 hours a day. Because these guys don't work regular 8-hour shifts. Shit, they work the shift of a nurse or a doctor. Ridiculous hours, got to bid somebody call out, now they got to do a triple tour. You know what I'm saying? The good cops I always give credit to. But it's either these lazy motherfuckers these corrupt motherfuckers. And in Jersey City, honey, let me tell you something. You thought corruption in New York was bad? Nah, Jersey City got New York beat by a mile.
Get them.
Okay? I mean, over here, this is fucking ridiculous. They will brazenly take money out your hand. Like, all right, cool, thanks. And all that.
Wow.
At least in New York, they're trying to be slick about it.
Fire.
I said try. I didn't say work. I just said they try.
Fire.
But the good cops, I can never take none away from a good cop. I can't. Because you're doing the right thing. You know, you're trying to be part of the community instead of screwing the community. And I don't care what community it is. I don't care if it's the brothers. I don't care if it's the Chinese dudes. I don't care if it's the Spanish. I don't care. You know, the good cops are trying to be part of. But there's too many bad cops in this motherfucker world that outweighs the good cops. What's the problem? That's the plain and simple. That's the problem.
What makes a good cop?
A good cop is a cop that is going to say, and this is the smallest example, but it's the most poignant example. A good cop will see a woman struggling across the street. He may not help her with a bag, but he'll try to stop traffic so she can get the rest of the way. I'm not saying he got to carry a bag, but you know what I'm saying? You want to, especially over here, because we don't have like they have in New York. Like, we don't have traffic lights at every corner and shit like that. So we got a lot of crosswalks with no traffic lights. A good cop will try to hold up traffic so the lady can go through. A bad cop, he'll just stand there and watch her. Won't stop traffic, even though, by the law, the cars are supposed to stop at a crosswalk to let somebody walk across.
I wouldn't say that's so much a bad. I think the thing is this. A good cop and bad cop. I mean, you got cops that are subjective, but you got good cops that are objective. You look at the situation overall. They don't zero in on individuals.
No, but I'm saying that's just like a small example of the shit that I see that, for me, would make a good cop over a bad cop.
Oh, no, those cats are lazy. Those cats are lazy.
But those lazy cops, well, listen, those are lazy cats, but they're bad cops strictly because of the fact that they're lazy. So God forbid something's really going down, you think they're going to really do something? That's the way I look at it.
Do you consider a good cop somebody that laces, you know what I'm saying, that would jump and take a bullet for another person? Would you consider
Absolutely.
Depends on the person. Because if he takes a bullet for a drug dealer, I'm going to smack him.
Well, it depends, yeah, I mean.
It depends.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know what I'm saying? There's a firefight going on, you know? And there's an innocent child, you know, caught up somewhere, and the cop sees her. If that cop is willing to go grab her up out the line of fire, knowing he's going to get shot in the process, that's a good cop.
But that's your
job.
What I'm saying? That's like, that's how, that's the job.
That's it. No, listen, that's the job, but how many of them do the job?
Ooh.
But yeah, man, that's where my, you know, my guideline is for, you know, where I draw the line at between a good cop, a bad cop, or somebody that's there just trying to collect the benefits versus somebody that's there for the actual being a cop, for just there
yeah.
for being a cop. Will you put your life on the line? And I don't think a lot of cops today are willing to do that.
Hell no. You know why? They got their union. Oh, and their unions loves them.
Well, that
and
dude
I'm gonna
runs
go back
the union at NYPD. He's just, that dude, the dude with the mullet, oh my gosh, like, I really don't like him because I think he's a racist. I forgot his name.
You're probably not wrong.
I think he's a racist because the whole thing is, I think he only defends one kind of cop. I don't think he defends all cops in general. Like,
mm-hmm.
don't, you know what I'm saying? But like this, don't look at the blue.
Pick
just look
two.
At the, it's a badge. You know what I'm saying? Just look at
you know,
the job as a whole. But
you know what?
On.
He has, and the sad part is, though, he's in that position where he can literally pick and choose who he wants to defend.
Exactly.
You know,
But that's the problem. You can't have a job like that and then want to give preference. You either treat everybody equal across the board or you turn in your badge. Simple and plain.
Yeah,
you can't have bias. You can't.
But he's
can't have
not
going to
do that.
Well,
and that's
we were saying,
you know
people, there's good cops and bad cops. Obviously.
But you know what? At the end of the day, with his ass, he's a politician. You got to remember that, too.
Yeah.
Once he got into that position, he became a politician. And politicians are only worried about their prime constituents. Regardless of that, no matter how you slice it, he's a politician. So he's going to do everything he can. But they do. You understand what I'm saying? That's the problem. Absolutely. Because as a man in that position, he should have the wherewithal within him to really show some sort of example of moral standards. Some sort of example.
You're right.
But
he should be doing that across the board for every cop in any circumstance.
He should cover
all of them. Not just a select.
You know, but that's... Well, you know what? When you're a politician, this is what you do. And you gamble with people's lives on a daily basis. You do. And that sucks. Because not for nothing, you know, you got some...
Yo.
You do have you... And it's funny because... And I can't believe I'm saying this about the NYPD. Especially growing up in Queensbridge, I can't believe I'm saying this. But you do have some good cops that are on the beat.
Absolutely.
Those good cops are being overshadowed by the RoboCop guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I remember RoboCop.
So you know exactly what I'm talking about. Those good cops are being overshadowed by that dude, who's way not more than a piece of shit with a badge. And
Fact.
That's the issue. That's the biggest issue. You know. And you very rarely will hear a story in the news about a cop that has gone far and beyond the call of duty. Although there are a lot of them that do, but you won't hear about it.
No, because the media feels that that's what people don't want to hear. They want to hear about things that will sell. So, corrupt cop, yeah, it sells. Cop shoots black man, it sells. Cop helping a black man, it don't sell.
Yeah.
But a cop running into a
fucking burning building, it depends.
Wait, what you was going to say, P?
We're still on the subject on the good cop versus bad cop. And when you guys say that if a cop is not willing to put his life on the line, then he shouldn't become a cop, right?
Oh, absolutely.
That's how I feel.
He shouldn't have
the job. Be a meter man.
Like a soldier.
It's just like a soldier in the military. Like,
do not insult me to me.
Things that it comes with the job.
Say that again. Yeah. I'm sorry, Tamika. What you say?
Do not insult me to me.
No, I'm not insulting him, but I mean.
Yes,
you
are. By saying that, yeah, that's an insult. He's more of a crossing guard, okay?
So being that if a person is not willing to risk his life, he shouldn't become a cop. Don't you think that if a cop has maybe has a family or something, that it would make him more prone not to want to jeopardize his life, knowing that he has a family to get home to?
It comes with the risk of the job.
You knew the dangers of the job when you went through the academy. You knew.
But
I'm saying the same could be said for a firefighter. The same could be said for someone who drives a freaking ambulance. You know the dangers that are involved with the job. If the job is that dangerous and you really don't want to get shot, then don't do the job.
Don't become a cop. Look at it like this. I used to do armored truck, carried and drove around millions of dollars. There's a certain level, I hate bulletproof vests. I hate them. But I never wore one. There's certain risks that come with the job. Like when you carry a firearm, you know that automatically at the back there's certain risks. But look at it like this. Look at, and I'll take it back to like 9/11. Look at the security guards that were in the building. You know, listen, nobody knows whatever's going to happen.
When you're
in a certain field, you know that there may be a point in time where you may have to put it all on the line. Whether you're a rent-a-cop, that everybody want to talk shit about rent-a-cops, but guess what? When you're in the mall and some shit hit the fan, who you going to go to?
That's the first person you're looking for.
Exactly. You're going to be looking for that little rent-a-cop. So you people who talk shit about the rent-a-cops, go put your foot in your own ass. Because, you know what I'm saying, they got families that they got to feed to, and they got to do what they got to do. But when you come down to when you're employed in a certain place, there's certain risks that come with the job. And as long as you understand that, you got to go forth and do what you got to do and carry out your duty.
In regards to rent-a-cops, the only time I bust their balls is when they're being douchebags. I'm done.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
Wow.
You got some of them that do. You're some of them they take the little bad square bad too serious.
Exactly.
But
there is a certain amount of risk, and that's with any field. But especially when your career is a protect and serve career, you know that there is a livelihood, a huge livelihood that you may either get shot, have to fire, or get caught up in a crossfire. There's just no way around it. Yes, you have a family, but you know what? Not for nothing. This is where it becomes a situation where you really have to sit there and evaluate your shit and say, do I really want to keep doing this, running this risk, and knowing that, you know, my family could lose me and then they're left suffering, or do I want to fucking find something else to do with myself? This is where you have to sit down and really make that choice. Listen, what the hell is the name of this movie I was watching the other day? Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something. And I watched this movie, and I was crying. End of watch.
I
watched it. Okay?
I've seen that.
Now, I watched that movie twice because I couldn't get over it.
All right, that was good.
That's
a movie or a TV show? Is it a movie?
It's a movie. You got to see it and believe it.
Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yes. Jake Gyllenhaal, yes. And,
okay,
and let me tell you something. I don't like cop movies. I sat there and watched it twice. I watched it twice because it was that good. And let me tell you something. It was such a gripping movie. It was ridiculous. And in that movie, both of them were married. One just had a child. The other one, his wife, just became pregnant.
Yes.
They both get shot. I ain't going to tell you who lives and who dies. But what I'm saying is this. They knew the risk. Their families knew the risk. Does it hurt? Hell fucking yeah. I couldn't get over it. Even the eulogist had me crying, and he said one word, and I was done. But they knew the risk. Let me tell you something. The scene, and you've already seen it, so you know. The scene where they got shot up, it was insane. They gotta watch it.
I'm gonna be honest.
I'm not saying nothing on it, but when you see it, you will go, damn.
But what I'm saying is this. The job is a dangerous fucking, and these dudes are LAPD. So you know they won't say that. This shit is all fucked up. LAPD gotta work for the NYPD.
So do you think that being a cop, you know, if you have a family, do you think that affects you, your performance in a positive or negative way?
It depends on the individual.
It depends on your family and how they feel about you being an officer of the law. Because if you have a family and if they are negative, like they don't like you being a cop, they worry about you all the time, about you being a cop, that's going to play on your psyche as a cop. Where you're going to be like, well, you know, man, I'm
breaking
out my, where you're on the job and you're thinking about, you know, your family and how they feel about you as a cop. So you're not doing 100% of your job because 60% of your thinking is on your family and how they feel about your job. Where as if they was positive and they were all about you being a cop, then you're going to try to be the best cop that you could be out there because of how your family looks up to you. Oh, yeah, my dad's a cop. Oh, yeah, my husband's a cop. He's a great cop. I love the fact that he's a cop. You know, I love the fact that he's in the uniform. He's out there, you know, protecting and serving the community. You want to make damn sure that you're a good cop.
If your family has a positive outlook. Can you be the best cop you can be, even still with, you know, when you have a family? Can you still go out there
and go to Baltimore? It depends. Because like I told you, at one point, like, that was me. Like, I was determined. I was going to take the test and all that, but like I said earlier, it was certain factors. And it wasn't the factor of knowing that one day I can get killed because, you know, on doing my job or trying to save somebody's life. That wasn't the thing that deterred me from being a cop. What deterred me from being a cop was the excessive force issue and the fact that when you start to see the depravity on a daily, day-to-day basis in humanity, it's two things that can happen. Either it can destroy you or it can build you. And to be honest with you, I saw it destroying me more than it building me. Because after a while, you start to become that environment. Like I told you, I'm not going to sit. I can't. If I roll up on the scene and I see some old lady punched out, some dude robbed her, when I find him, it's going to be a long ride back to the precinct. The precinct could be three blocks away. You will not get there until tomorrow morning. And there's no guarantee you'll get there in one piece. Because if you think on my watch you're going to bust some old lady's ass for $5, imagine what I'm going to bust on you just because you bust her ass. Now, the family issue, listen, you can't go out there thinking about your family. That shit'll get you killed. You can't go out to work thinking about, oh, what you got at home. You better look at what's in front of you. Because
exactly.
The whole thing is,
exactly.
If you don't pay attention to what's in front of you, you ain't getting back home.
But can you see how hard that can be for somebody, though? You know what I'm saying? You know,
brother, you
even said it yourself. Even when, you know, when I was listening to the show earlier, you said police officers have the highest divorce rate, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
They have one of the highest divorce rates.
So
yeah.
I mean, don't you think that affects the, like you said, the psyche of, you know, just the whole idea of going
of
through
course.
A divorce and then having problems? So
of course.
I mean,
Of course, bro. Of course. That's why I feel bad, especially for the good ones, because the little bastard-ass cops make it bad for the good ones. Listen, like I said, there's enough pressure with this job. But then you got to go back to the precinct and deal with some assholes, or you got to ride with an asshole partner? Are you serious? It's bad enough you got to go out there and watch your back, but there's no guarantee that the person that you're riding with is going to watch yours.
Like I said, Serpico.
Was a good-ass movie.
Sure was.
But those are cops doing that to other cops. So come on, man. Look, like I said before, and you, I forgot who said the saying, but remember Tamika and LIC, Mr. Durkin from History. He's the one who said it. He, absolute power corrupts absolutely. When you have that badge, you have that status, you have that power, it can change you. And to a weak-minded person, to a gullible person, it's going to turn them into something that they are not.
No,
but
and,
the sad
and, you
part
know,
is, when she hits the fan, do you really think they're going to be able to act under the pressure? No.
I don't think so.
Because they weren't that tough cookie. They weren't that tough cookie to begin with.
No. And you know what? There's also a pack mentality involved with this job. You do realize
that. Oh, very much. Very much.
It really is.
Very much
and
a
I,
pack
you know,
mentality.
It's definitely a pack mentality. It is. And it's ridiculous. God, please, don't. I just can't. I can't. And, you know, I never, ever wanted to be a police officer. Never. It never appealed to me.
Mm-hmm.
Ixnaying the whole, you know, walking target, ixnaying that. You see it, you come across enough douchebag cops, you don't want to be one of them.
You don't. Of course not.
You know, and I can honestly say, in my lifetime, I've only come across three really nice police officers. Three.
Wow.
In my 30-some-odd years of causing trouble on this damn planet.
Wow.
I've only come across three. One of them was Williams from LIC.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna watch Williams. He's a good dude. He's a good dude.
Now, Williams, let me tell you something. And Williams, he patrolled LIC, but he also had LIC on lock. If something happened and Williams needs to find out who did it, Williams found out, and he didn't have to go through no extra changes finding out. You know what? Everybody respected Williams because Williams gave everybody respect when they deserved it. He wasn't a ball buster, you know? Then it was this one cop I actually was trying to hook my mother up with years ago, named Officer Hopper. He was single, what? He patrolled Queensbridge. He was single, he was a good looking guy, whatever. Didn't happen. I'm withdrawn from that. The last was actually here in Jersey City when I used to bartend. Cop used to come into the bar. Really nice guy, really sweet guy. Family guy and all of this shit. Really nice guy. Used to see him out of uniform. We talked. Really nice guy. But like I said, those are the only three of my 30-some-odd years on this fucking planet. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you how douchey the cops are in freaking New York. One day, not even, this is Queensbridge.
But you,
know
that's the ego. That's that ego.
Yeah, but now let me give you the funny.
Say that. This is going to go along the lines of what you're about to say. When I was dealing with a said person, that person told me when they were in the academy, the instructor had made a statement, and the instructor said, "Who's the biggest gang in New York?" Once you say shit like that to a bunch of 25, 26, 27, even the impressionable, gullible-ass people, if they're not a strong-minded person, They're going to take that the wrong way. But when you say who's the biggest gang in New York, forget about it. Like you said, the pack mentality, it all starts there.
Right there, once you say who's the biggest gang in New York, you're starting to corrupt.
Yep. Yeah, you're starting to trouble. Oh, absolutely.
That's not positive at all. Not positive at all. Who's the biggest gang in New York? Right there, if somebody was borderline, you just took them over to the dark side.
Yeah, and they ain't coming back.
From that.
Speaking of the po-po, they coming back my house now. All right, Jersey City jumping.
Well, they know you on the air. They know you on the menu. And they're about to come
over. If anyone was on the menu, they stopped. No, they headed to the other side. They headed to the other side of the hill. I told you, on my side... They don't be fucking around over here. It's the other side that you got to watch out for. So let me tell you what's funny real fast. This is my funny, and this is why I, you know, the NYPD, I got to shake my head at them. Back in the day when I used to rollerblade, we going back.
Wow.
Okay. I was rollerblading right now. Listen here. I was rollerblading, playing handball. I was doing the damn thing. I was rollerblading down 21st. Your white cop stopped me and said, do you know where you are? I said, I absolutely do, officer. I'm in Queensbridge. I'm leaving my mother's house now. Black people around here don't ride rollerblades. I said, yeah, they do. I'm proof. Are you sure? Yes, I'm very sure black people around here ride rollerblades. Thank you for your concern, but I'm okay. Have a great day. Put my music back on and I'm going the fuck out.
Wow.
I said, no, it just ain't some racist bullshit. Really? Because a black bitch can't be on some blades in the hood? You going
wow.
back to Jesus. Wait, you going back to 80-something.
Damn. But now, this goes into what I was saying before. Now, there's this video on Facebook where it's so disgusting, and I had made a comment when I posted it earlier this morning, but there was this mother who was brutally attacked in New Jersey while the kid was in the house. I mean,
yes.
This dude was going in. Going
yes, he was.
In.
In
the nanny cam.
Yeah.
And, yo, if I couldn't be the cop that caught him, because I would probably resign that day.
Oh, he get his ass whooped. Sorry,
he would be in ICU. ICU. Whatever.
Now I have to actually go on my Facebook and look at this shit.
It's sad. It is absolutely disgusting.
That's why I was hoping the video was fake. But yo, if I was the cop I'm not gonna sit here and lie. I see him hitting the mother like that, and the kid is in the house, and you did all that? Yo, I'm just going to take him to the nearest church and let him say his prayers. And I'm going to say, ask God for my hands to just drop off my arms right now, because I'm going to fuck you up. You're about to have a very bad existence. I'm not going to lie about that, because that's the type of shit that on the job and see. That's the type of shit that I don't want to experience, that I didn't want to experience. That's why I was like, you know what? I can't do this job. Because that means I'll be busting ass every day. And then I'll be on the front page. And people be looking at me like, oh, he's a maniac cop. But in all reality, they'd be like, no, he's just a motherfucker that got tired of the bullshit. Because if it was your mother's ass that they was whipping, he'd be like, yeah, beat him some more.
Well, naturally.
But that video was ridiculous. I couldn't even watch it. Like, I hope whoever catches him. Matter of fact, I hope he takes himself out before he get caught.
Are you watching it now, Lady Tamika?
That video is ridiculous.
I'm watching it right now.
Yeah,
that video
I kind of
think
you were watching it right now. Yeah.
You saw that video, Pierre?
Yo.
Yeah, it's wrong with the black dude. He came into the room and it's like
it just started.
He wouldn't have made it. He wouldn't have made it, man.
And the
crazy
part that
like,
the
I
mother,
can't.
She's not even like she wasn't. She was like what, like 3-4 feet tall.
Yeah, but that's. I was hoping that video was fake, man, because it was. It just disgusted me so much.
I'm sorry, but I got to see this.
What?
That's one motherfucker. I hope that when they catch him, they do with his ass.
I would have had to resign that same day. And the kid is in the house too. The kid is in the house.
Was the kid on the couch?
Huh?
Thank God he ain't touched the.
Yeah, wasn't it a child
yeah.
right there on the couch?
Yeah, she's
on the couch.
No, the daughter is sitting on the couch. The daughter is sitting on the couch while the mother is being assaulted.
Oh my God! If he'd have hit the kid, it would have been a wrap.
Dude, I would have kept him for a week. I'd have kept him for a week. He would have prayed for Jesus to rescue him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that, and like I said, that's the type of stuff I couldn't deal with.
And
that's
the
type of stuff.
And you threw it down the basement?
He threw it down the stairs. Threw it down the basement.
Yeah.
And see, my thing is this. This is what we asked. These are the law enforcement. Now, You could imagine a crooked cop seeing that and probably being a little heartless to it. But a cop that really gives a damn.
Oh, he's looking.
That's
going to
break you. That right there is going to break you. Because that'll break anybody. If you see some shit like that, that'll break any goddamn body.
Mm-mm. Oh, hell
could
no.
Could you just imagine showing up on the scene to that and then turning around and going back out there doing your job? It's going
nah.
to charge you.
I know. No.
That would be hard.
Let me say something.
That will be
I'm
hard.
Him right now, I'm ready to find him. I'm
That's
ready to
what
find
I'm
him.
That as soon as, you kick, as soon as he kicked in the door, his civil liberties and all that shit went out the window. Like, as soon as you commit a violent crime, you should be denied all civil rights and liberties.
Absolutely.
Because especially
when caught on camera.
And the funny part is, had she had a gun, it would have been a wrap. Because he'd have been
that's
shot.
That's what I'm saying.
Shoot that nigga.
I
said it.
But it seemed like everything happened so quick.
Yeah, it did happen quick. It did. It really did.
And this guy was relentless.
He was just pounding like.
Yeah, because
oh
that's what I was looking. I was looking at the video saying he didn't even have to do all that. You know what I'm saying? Like he was just.
No, he didn't. It was like he was just angry. Like it was a personal. Like that looked real personal right there.
It was real personal. It was like his house got invaded.
Yeah, or like, you know what I'm saying? Like somebody stole your last piece of chicken. Like that shit was like, he was like, oh, I'm mad now. Like this dude really went in and there was no need for all of that.
No, it wasn't. He should, there's not, but you know what? There's never a just cause for that shit. If you want,
yeah,
a home invasion should have never gone down like that. There's no point in that. That was just ridiculous.
I hope that they catch him. And definitely whoop his ass real good and real hard and real long.
Listen, I hope her husband catches him before the cops do. How about that?
Mm.
How about
that? Wow, that's why I said I couldn't do, like, I commend the cops that could do it. But I can't.
Like I said.
I can't.
And here we go. Good cop, bad cop, man.
I believe in Charles Bronson. I believe that vigilante shit, because it's like you can't. Like,
it's warranted. It's warranted.
There's certain situations where it's warranted. It's not every situation, and that's the issue, because a lot of them take it too far and they put that in every situation. No, it's not warranted in every situation. And that particular situation held for the year.
In that situation,
in that situation,
right.
He should be shot. Or
damn a due process for him.
No.
Shooting him is too good.
No,
I would whip his ass every day.
I didn't say where to shoot him, did I?
Nah, listen. Cats like that.
You know, he'll probably get, you know, a right to attorney and all this. Oh, he get all these rights.
Damn, a right to return.
Civil liberties.
He got a right to a gauze pad. That's about it. You get one gauze pad.
He got a right to criminal right.
But that's the problem in this country. They just want to, just like, oh, he's civil liberty. Like I said, as soon as you commit a violent act against an adult or a child, especially a child, you have no more rights.
Yeah, it's
in front of a child. Forget about
it.
Oh, it's a wrap.
Oh boy. Looks like we only have
90 seconds left. Listen, I want to thank Pierre. I want to thank Mr. Miko. Come back, coming back in. We're gonna get real interesting next Thursday, which you'll probably be barbecuing. You know,
what's going on next Thursday? I have no life.
Okay, but Brother L. Brother P. I mean,
yeah.
Thank you, Pierre, Tamika, for hollering and chiming in.
Not a problem. Thank you guys for having me.
God bless.
Everybody have a good night. Another episode
you
of Being Human Can. God bless.
Right, y'all.
Be blessed.
Peace.
And you police officers, get on your game.
Yes.
If you're on the wrong side of the law, you know you are, get on your game. Cut it out.
Let them know.
Be an officer of the law. Do what you're supposed to be doing.
Don't
be a douchebag.
The opinions and the statements made today do not all reflect the people who's in the top of these, in the minds of the menu. Just remember,
I want to say thank you out there to all the law-abiding officers that are out there on the grind and doing it for the community, by the community. We thank you. But you know what? You know who you are? Shame on you, like I said earlier.
Get off the air.
Alrighty.
Later, y'all.
All right, y'all.
Good night, God bless.
Peace. Yeah, it's great.